You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
It's up to me to be the very best I can be. And it's up to you.
From Philadelphia, and welcome to another exciting and inspirational episode of the Up to Me Magazine Show. Today, we are blessed to have with us the very talented Miss Donna Krutz Moore, makeup artist and hairstylist of New Creation Makeup Artistry for television and film. I'm your host, Gabby G, and if you're new to the program, I was lovingly referred to by my mother as Gabby Gale as a little girl because I was born with the gift of gab, a trait that both my husband and son can each attest to. But I say that's okay because I believe that one's greatest weakness is also one's greatest gift. So if you like to talk a lot like me or you're just a great listener, please join me in my virtual Gabby G Cafe and be inspired along with me as I introduce to you each morning another fabulous guest to inspire and educate you. Each week, I will welcome our guest and invite you to join me in conversations on various topics that relate to our journeys in awakening and living in our life purpose. I'm blessed and humbled to be a part of this Christ-led team, and I do not take this opportunity to serve as your host for granted. Here at Up to Me Magazine, we love to encourage and empower each other to be the best that we can be. So this program is truly meant to be a platform of voices to be heard and expressed in a safe and non-judgmental environment. Also, a special shout out to Blessed Love Gospel Reggae Band for creating our theme song, Wake Up. You can hear the song in its entirety at the close of our show, and if you like it, you can purchase the song for just 99 cents through cdbaby.com or simply purchase through our website at Up to Me Radio. We are pleased to announce that Up to Me Radio is now on Google Play Music as well as Stitcher and iTunes. Join our nearly 1 million listeners in uploading any one of these apps on your mobile or Android devices. Up to Me Radio can also be found on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. In addition, look for our latest feature of Up to Me Magazine. You can purchase a subscription by going to www.uptomemagazine.com. Well, just a few months ago in an interview with screenwriter Philippa Boyens, we talked about those in the entertainment industry who I felt were unsung heroes. In all professions, certainly, you will always find those who work tirelessly and quietly behind the scenes, making significant impacts for a finished product that the public hardly fathoms or recognizes. When I was a senior in high school, I ran lights for a show at the Spotlighters Theater in downtown Baltimore. I would sit in the lighting booth with the script and watch the show with my cues written in the margins with directives on when to dim the lights or pull them up, when to fade to black, etc. I didn't think running the lights was very exciting or important until one day one of the actors said to me, "You did a great job with the lighting." Then he added something I will never forget. He said, "You know, when you think no one notices the lighting, that's because you're doing a great job because it blends with the show. Now just you forget to bring up those lights or do so at the wrong time and everyone will notice." And that's when I began to recognize the unsung heroes on stage, television, and film. My husband always asked me why I like to watch the credits and read the names of people I don't even know. As I'm reading each name, I feel like I'm giving due recognition to all those unsung heroes of that production. And this is why I asked one of the most sought after and highly recommended behind-the-scenes heroes of the faith based film and television industry to be my guest this morning to educate us on the art of makeup artistry and hairstyling for television and film. She has numerous television, film, and commercial work credits to her name, as well as freelance and other miscellaneous high-profile projects in just the last several years. Her work in makeup artistry and hairstyling includes films such as Touched by Grace, My Name is Paul, Texas Rain, Extraordinary, Heaven Bound, Heritage Falls, and most recently, The Order of Rights, as well as the acclaimed Fox News television series, Legends and Lies, Season 3, just to name a few. So please help give me a very warm welcome to one of my unsung heroes, Miss Donna Crutz Moore. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning.
Thank
you
so much for I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Oh, I'm so happy because, you know what, I really do feel like you are an unsung hero to the industry. And I just really can't, I just feel like you have such an important role. And it's one of those things, like with the lighting, that a lot of people might not realize because they're just looking at the beautiful actors and who are portraying their characters. And then I don't think they understand or they just don't know or realize the hard work that goes behind creating that for the actors. So I just wanted to introduce our listening audience to you this morning. But first, I wanted to begin by just having you tell us a little bit about your family.
I grew up in Newcastle, Delaware, and my husband and I moved to Virginia in 1994, so quite a while ago, and absolutely love it here. We've had a family here. We have four kids, two boys and two girls, and their ages are from 14 to 21, and I'm so proud of them. All of them are serving God, love God. My two oldest children are going to a missionary college because they want to be full-time missionaries when they get out of school. So they attend Bethany Global University, which is in Minnesota.
In Minnesota?
And they will, So quite a weather change. They had to get used to the super, super cold weather there. Supposed to be going to on a mission trip. The schooling sends them to for a mission trip for 18 months of their schooling. So they get to go to another culture. They get to learn the languages. And they'll be teaching English as a second language there. So,
are they going to live as missionaries somewhere else out of the country when they graduate? Is that how that works?
They want to, yes. My son wants to go to – he feels called to the Asian community. My daughter feels called to Spanish.
Wow.
Both of them are planning on moving away from the U.S. to be missionaries, for missionaries. So as a mom, it's kind of hard.
I was going to say, that's bittersweet.
Yeah. Especially going
you're so proud
to
of them on one
places.
Hand.
Yeah, especially going to dangerous places. It's kind of scary, but I just trust God. And it's kind of like he gave them me to raise up for him, you know. That's kind of how I see that. But and then I have my youngest is 14, and she loves horses, and she eventually wants to do like a horse trainer. And my son Garrett, he just turned 17. He wants to be an engineer like his dad. He wants to go to Virginia Tech, and
great school. So. And you know what? My husband's an engineer as well.
Nice.
Yeah, he's a mechanical engineer by trade, my husband, or by education. But so we have a lot in common. Wow, you have quite a family, Donna. I know you're so proud of them, and that's really exciting. I'm just really curious about your two oldest going to missionary school. Is that something that I think it's unusual that you have two siblings that both want to do the same thing and feel called to do the same thing. So are they doing like a team thing? I know you said they're going to be in different places, but like right now, are they doing anything? Do they serve the Lord together now, I guess is what I'm asking.
Both of them are very active in our church when they're not in school, you know, when they're home.
Yeah, right.
They teach in the kids' classes and things like that. Both of them have been on many mission trips to Guatemala and Mexico. They're both going again this summer. My son has gone to Uruguay.
Wow.
So I guess just being exposed to that young, because they were both probably about 13, 14 when they started doing missions trips. I guess it really got in their heart that that's what they wanted to do. So
it seems like all of you are called to some kind of ministry in one form or another. Now, Hannah wants to be, she wants to work with horses, and that's really neat with an equestrian. We're going to talk about horses and equestrian in a little bit because I'm just really amazed at what you do. And so we're going to talk about that. just a little, I don't want to do a spoiler alert for a little bit later on, but I just love that. And then, but your son Garrett is on a national championship football team. Is that correct?
Yes. He plays for a team called the Disciples. They're out of Richmond, Virginia. So we're about an hour and a half from there where it's practice. So it's like an hour and a half drive every day to practices and things like that. But the team is amazing. They like pray, you know, before practices and games, and oftentimes after games, both teams get together and they'll pray together, or they'll like point out different positive things that they saw in the other team. Like Garrett's players will say some nice things about the other team, and their team will say things about Garrett's team. And but in the same time, it's very competitive. So they won the national championship in Florida 2 years in a row. So hopefully this year will be the third year.
But there's a little ministry in that too, in just in doing that and showing sportsmanship and praying together and being positive with the other team, even though you said it's competitive. So you have quite the family. That's really awesome.
Oh, thanks.
And that says a lot about you as a parent and your husband as well. And I also wanted to touch on a really cool ministry that you're involved in called Sparrow Ranch on the Island. Now, what's that about? Can you tell us about that? And how do you use your gift for that?
Oh, my goodness. Sparrow Ranch. I love Sparrow Ranch. Sparrow Ranch is run by a man named Ricky Keel, who we've become good friends over the past couple of years. But it's a ministry for people with special needs. So what he does is he has big events at his home, and he's in York, South Carolina. Everybody's invited to his home. He has people with special needs come in, their families, and they had boating and fishing and games and bounce houses, face painting, all kinds of beautiful, fun activities for them. It's a place where they feel accepted and loved and not judged, and it's just amazing. And they have times of worship. It's like a kind of like a church service. They'll have worship time, and a lot of the kids will get up and they'll sing, or they'll play their guitar, or they'll give a testimony of what God's done in their lives. And so Ricky actually did a short film because he really got interested in the film aspect. And he's like, I want to do a movie. So we did a short film called Remnant of Hope together. I, you know, did makeup for it, and he like went all out and had Karen Abercrombie, who was in War Room. She was one of the leads in War Room. She was our lead in this. Yeah.
And, he was the lead in War Room?
Yeah. She was,
I wonder who you're talking
room,
about then. Yeah.
Karen Abercrombie. Mm-hmm. The older one to play the older lady. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, she was amazing.
Oh, yeah, she is. And her, I've worked with her like 4 times, but her,
wow,
the presence of God is all over her in her natural life, you know. I mean, just being around her presence is just, she's incredible. But, so we did this little short film. He had never stepped foot on a film set ever. And we did the short film. And it got nominated for 3 awards at the International Christian Film Festival.
Wow.
And it's supposed to be airing on Uplift TV and Parables TV. So, yeah.
And
so
what is it called again?
Ministry and the movie.
Uh-huh.
The Remnant of Hope.
The Remnants of Hope?
Remnant.
The Remnants of Hope. Okay, I'm going to look out for that. That's awesome.
And he's also wants to, we worked on a promo for a reality show, what he wants to do, and he's hoping it gets picked up by a network somewhere, but so it's about the different people that attend Sparrow Ranch, kind of getting behind and their life stories and how they live their day-to-day and that kind of thing, and that was pretty powerful, being part of that.
That's awesome.
So hopefully that will move forward and be a project to work on.
Well, what do you do with Sparrow Ranch? Do you just attend, or do you do makeup for them, or
the beginning was that Rick and I were just Facebook friends, and he had posted an event he had done. And my brother growing up with special needs, he had passed away back when I was in high school, so you know, it's been a while.
Sorry.
But it's kind of, I've always had a connection with people with special needs.
Sure.
So I saw this, you know, event he had on Facebook. I was like, wow, that's really neat. So I sent him a message, and I was like, hey, I'd love to be part of this. Can I come down and do makeup for, you know, people with special needs or their caretakers or whoever wants it, you know? So I went down for an event and worked with them on that, and I had gone to a couple other ones, and then I've done like the Remnant of Hope or the reality show pitch. So I've done a couple other projects with him. But yeah, so that's kind of how I got involved. I kind of fell in love with the whole aspect of it.
That's an amazing ministry in and of itself. I mean,
it is.
You know, just beyond what we're going to talk about with you and what you do. I'm really proud of you for that. That's a beautiful thing to use your gift for the Lord in that way as well. So I wanted to make sure that we talked about that, because I think that's really a beautiful part of your story. But I did want to talk about your story and about your beginnings. How does someone break into makeup artistry for film and television? Is that something that you aspired to your whole life, or can you tell us how you began your journey in that?
People ask me often when I'm on film sets this question, and really, it was a God thing. I mean, complete God thing. I like to be behind the scenes, not in front of the camera, you know. My family was an extra in the film, and I got to be friends with the writer, and she was doing another film. So there was a Facebook post that said they were looking for they're auditioning for a mom role of her next film. I'm like, I'm going to try out for it. I don't know why. I don't like to be in front of the camera, but I was like, I'm going to try out for this. So I auditioned for that, and I didn't get that part, but I got another tiny part. And then my son, who was 16 at the time, he's 21 now, he wanted to be into film and directing and that kind of thing. So he was going to be an extra in the film and wanted to be an extra. So the director at that time wanted to see the extras prior to shooting, which I haven't seen yet again since then. So I took my son up there, and the director asked him, you know, why do you want to be in my film? And my son said, well, I want to be a director one day. So the director, who is Donald Leal, he said to my son, he said, well, we have an internship program if you'd like to come, you know, help us out and learn some stuff. And I was like, really? And I said, well, can I stay? Because I have to drive. It's like an hour and a half drive every day, you know. So can I stay with him? You know, so I'm driving back and forth. And he's like, sure, we'll put you to work too. What would you like to do? I was like, to help with the makeup? So he was like, well, we'll see what we can do. And I got, like, probably a month or two later, I got a call from Ashley Chavis, Wolf now. She's been recently married. And she was like, I'm the makeup artist for Touched by Grace. And,
wow.
You know, you're going to be working with me. I was like, so excited. And so I worked with her on that, and then her and I did My Name is Paul together. So I worked under her on both of those. And then
which
from there,
Shannon Fields
other...
was in that as well, right? The actor,
yes.
Shannon Fields?
Yes. So that's where my connection to Shannon Fields, and then the Order of Rights came in, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And we're going to talk about those in a little bit as well. But don't you love how God does that?
I know. And it's kind of like, I feel like it was a gift that he knew I was going to love, like, before I even knew it. Like, he had it waiting for me. Like, that's what I feel like. Like, it was just like, here's a gift for you. You're going to love it. And and I did. I mean, just, like, from the first day on set, I was like, I love this. I want to do this.
So he really placed that in your heart early on. It wasn't something as a child you said, I want to be a makeup artist. No, it was something,
no.
It was like you said, it was like he gave you a gift. Like the Lord looked into your heart and your soul and your gifts and talents that he created you for, and said, this is what I have planned for her. This is her destiny, and she's going to love this. Like, don't you love how God does that? Sort of like when at Christmas time with a parent, and they're wrapping up their gifts, and like, oh, I can't wait till they open this up and see this gift.
Yeah. That's
they're
exactly
gonna love
right.
It.
Yeah, I never in a million years would have thought I'd be doing makeup for TV and film. I was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be a makeup artist for TV and film. It really truly is all God. I had no idea it would ever happen. And especially in where I live, you know, I'm thinking I'm not in LA, I'm not in New York, you know. It's like, so I had no idea.
And that's such a great surprise, isn't it? I love those surprises in life, and then you just watch it open and unfold, and you know, you grow as an artist and everything through each of those little experiences that you receive. And so, is there anybody that in that business that kind of early on took you under their wing or mentored you in any way and taught you your craft? How did you get your experience, your professional experience that way?
Really, Ashley, well, I mentioned her earlier, Ashley Chavis Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
She was
so she became a mentor to you.
Yes. Yes. So
that's
when I have
awesome.
Questions, I'm like, I'll send her a message. Hey, what do I do about
wow.
this? I think she was so sweet, and she helped me, like teach me what I need to look for, what I need to do, you know. Her attitude was beautiful. She was so giving. Here I am. She's somebody else coming into her arena. She could have been someone who's, like, threatened or whatever, but she wasn't. She was just, like, she took me in and helped me out, and I worked with her on that film and then another film together. And like I said, I still, every once in a while, if I have a question, I'll send her a message. And she's always, you know, extremely helpful and everything. So I would say her has helped. There's another guy, Alexander McPherson, who helped get me jobs in the beginning. I was working with him a few times. And then there's a special effects artist when I have those kind of questions. Actually, I'm going to go to a class of his. His name is Gregory Hewitt, and he's out of Charlotte, North Carolina, but he's absolutely amazing, like major special effects with like limbs removed, faces ripped off, all kinds of neat things. But so I'm going to a class of his next week. But him as well, there's times that I didn't even know who he was, but through Facebook, we had a mutual Facebook friend. And so I contact him because I had questions. I'm like, I don't know you, but, you know, can you help me out? And he's like, give me a call. And so I called him. He talked to me for like an hour and a half on the phone.
Wow.
Answering all my questions, just as sweet as can be. So I've met a lot of many great, talented, sweet people on the way who got me, you know, this far.
And I find that, too, just with what I do, that the Lord does, he puts people in your path. You know, that they'll take you under your wing and help train you. And I like that you said there's workshops. So you go to workshops too, because I was going to ask you how you continue to grow and learn new techniques and things like that. So you attend workshops. And reason I'm asking this, because I know there's a lot of people out there who do aspire also to do what you do and work for television, film, and makeup artistry and hair, and we'll get into the hair later too. But I didn't know if you had some kind of takeaway or something that some advice that you can give to them, something that you wished you knew at a younger age had you wanted to aspire to do that. Did you learn anything in particular?
I think my biggest advice for people wanting to get in the film industry would really be to, like, my first three films I volunteered for. That really gets you in the door, and you meet people and get connection. Really, the film industry is all about connection. So, I saw it as really it was free schooling because I got trained doing those three. So I wasn't getting paid to be there, you know, 12 hours a day, but I was getting free training. So in a way that was pay, you know.
Exactly.
So my first three I volunteered for. My first one I was key on, which was my fourth film, was very low pay. But again, I was inexperienced at being key, so it was just a great opportunity I was given to be in that position. I'm thankful for that. So that would probably be my biggest advice for someone wanting to get started, is to find a production they can volunteer on and get their foot in.
I think that there's a lot of wisdom in that, because I found that too. You know, with anything that you aspire to do, volunteering or just offering your time, what can I do? Whether or not it's in the field that you want to participate in, for instance, if you want to do makeup artistry for film, you could volunteer to be a gopher. And I'll get coffee, you know, just to be in that surrounding, like you said, to get to know people and just offer yourself your services just to help. And because I think it's wonderful to just volunteer your time. And to see what you get that experience of what it's like to be on set. It kind of helps you to figure out if that's the environment that you want to be in. You can see the pros and the cons and all of that. But also, Most importantly, I think it allows people to get to know you and the kind of person that you are, because it's, and this is what I love about you, is you have such a big heart, and not only are you talented, but you love the Lord, and your his countenance is all over you, and so it is. And so there's a lot more than just coming in and doing what you do and doing it well, but it's the whole person, and I just think offering yourself, you can never go wrong when you offer yourself to other people who have needs as well, because they need that extra help on the film set and everything. So you speak with a lot of wisdom. You do. And so I just love that. And also I wanted to talk about some of the perks. Can you tell us about some of the perks that you were able to experience that you didn't expect?
Perks? Like I said, I fell in love with it the first day that I was on the set. And I think it's because of the energy. It's like the excitement and energy, and especially when you're like off a location, like somewhere where the public is, they're like, what's going on? What is this? You know, it's just really exciting. It's neat to go to different places. Like we've filmed in like rock quarries that were like absolutely beautiful, you know, go down the bottom of a rock quarry, or we've taken a four-wheeler is up to the top of the mountains. Like the only way you can get up there is with a four-wheeler or walk, which would be a long walk. But just filming in like courts and jails and just all kinds of hospitals, just all kinds of different places that you don't normally would be, as far as, you know, just the experience. I've fancy, just beautiful houses. I've worked in like abandoned crack houses for some like
dark
stuff. And I actually have a project coming up in July. It's a 2-day promo for a film that's going to be in a mental, like a working mental institution. So that should be pretty interesting. But so it's just neat to get to experience things like that, or like being around horses or animals or different things that I'm not normally around. So that's definitely a big, you know, perk. But I think also being part of something, especially like in a faith-based family film world, being part of something that can change people's lives, you know, or their destiny,
right,
their eternities. You know, that there are people who have watched films I've worked on that have gotten saved, and so that's rewarding. And it's like it's kind of like a mini mission. You know, each film.
Oh, definitely
mission.
Is a ministry. I definitely feel like what you do is a ministry.
So it's just, there's a lot of perks traveling, you know, to different states and living there for, you know, 3 or 4 weeks at a time. And that's really neat to get to do too.
That's fabulous. Do you find that there's any drawbacks? I don't want to say challenges. I should say. Just, I don't want to say cons, but you know, is there any drawbacks or things that that you learned about that you didn't consider prior?
I kind of always say like being on the film set, I love it so much. It's like I'm not working when I'm working. So
right.
I'm just very like, whatever goes, I'm like, yeah, I'm excited about it. I mean, it's very flexible about everything. I would say probably the biggest drawback would be being away from my kids.
Right. Being away from,
yeah,
home.
Sometimes if you're gone for 3 or 4 weeks, that's kind of tough because you don't get to see them. Like I said, I'm pretty easygoing about everything. Probably the biggest downer I don't like to do is loading all my gear into my car and cleaning my car out after. Because it's like my trunk is full, the whole back seat is full. You know, it's like, yeah, that's probably the biggest, like, oh, I got to load that car up. But other than that, you know, I mean, it's just, I absolutely love my job. So I really can't think of negative. But.
Well, that's how you know that you're in the right place, is when you don't feel like your work is work, and that the long hours don't bother you, because it isn't easy on a film set. It's long, exhausting hours, and you have to really do love what you do, because it's a lot of sitting around and waiting. Now, for yourself, perhaps that's not true with the sitting around, because you're busy making up actors and doing their hair and costume changes, things like that, I guess, to you know, accommodating their different scenes and things like that. But and we're going to talk about that after the break, and we're going to hold that thought, because we're going to take a short station break now, and then we're going to be right back.
Very good.
We want to thank today's sponsor, Up to Me Magazine. a new uplifting and inspiring magazine with stories of purposeful living, such as Meet the Minimalist, the story and journey of Ryan Nicodemus and Joshua Milburn. Less stuff, more meaningful life. And an up-close and personal conversation with Will Haygood, author and associate producer of the acclaimed film The Butler by Lee Daniels, and so much more. So get your subscription today at uptomemagazine.com. That's up2magazine.com. And what's your story? Now we return back to our program.
And we're back, and if you're just joining us, we're talking with makeup artist and hairstylist Donna Crutz-Moore. Please call 347-324-5246 if you'd like to have ask Donna a question or have a comment for her. Remember to press the number 1, or you can pose your question through Twitter. And again, I'll repeat that number. It is 347-324-5246, and press the number 1. So right now we're going to just continue our conversation. So if you'd like to call in, please do so. Donna, I really wanted to get into the particulars of your craft and what you do, because I have so many questions. And like I was saying earlier, I don't think the average film and TV viewer, and I include myself in that, really understand the complexities and the nuances of what of your trade. For instance, when I was looking at the credentials on your resume, this just fascinates me. I noticed that you hold several different types of positions, and in those positions are things like makeup, equestrian makeup. So I'm like, what is equestrian makeup? Are you saying that, is it saying that you do makeup for horses?
Yeah, I actually have on a film called Texas Rain and also on Legends and Lies. Texas Rain, there was one day I was outside and the producer walked up and he was like, I have a question. I'm like, what's that? And he said, can you do makeup on a horse? And I was like, so I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, sure. Because I was trying to figure out, what do I have that I can do this with? So I was kind of trying to stall. I'm like, I can do that. So I did figure out, a product that I have in my kit, which is really important to bring all your stuff, so because you never know what you're going to need. So I was able to do makeup on a couple horses on that shoot.
I don't understand how. Now, don't they sweat the makeup off? Or
what I use is a product. It's only activated at like 99% alcohol. So, and then because it's dry until you wet it with 99% alcohol, and that activates it. So it's kind of like paint on.
Oh,
and
I see.
We use that for skin, or you can put it in hair. So I use that on the horse's hair. And then he did one, because I had to cover his color's nose. What we had to do is we had like it was either national or world champion horse reigning champion on our set to play, like doing the part of the competitions and things. So we couldn't necessarily have him the whole time because that would be an expensive horse to have around. So we had a duplicate from when we were at the farm and in the fields and in the barn stalls and stuff. So I had to try to match those two horses. The national champion, he only had like a little circle on his forehead, where the one I had to match him had like the white stripe that went all the way down. The champion had a black nose and the other one had a peachy nose, so I had to make his nose black to match the other. So when he would eat, sometimes, the coloring would scratch off his nose because he was like in the grass. So I have to keep reapplying that to him. So makeup on the horse. It was fun. I love that. I mean, it was just neat to get to spend time with the animals and stuff. So.
Well, you learn something new every day. I'm just so fascinated
by
it. I'm so fascinated by that. You know what? We have a caller.
Nice.
Yeah. So caller, if you're caller number 1, if your number ends in 2786, you are on the air with Donna.
Hi, Gail. Hi, Donna. This is Julie.
Hello.
Hey, girl.
How are you? This is actress Julie Silcott.
Yes, I just have to say, I'm still sleeping, Donna, since the since we filmed, but Donna, you are incredible. Just so you know, your artistry is beautiful. Donna had to take me in a scene that I did 2 years ago and make me look similar. I can't wait to see. I mean, from what I saw from the photos, I was blown away how much you made me look like I did 2 years ago, especially, you know, you age. I mean, I'm 50 now, so. But your work is absolutely beautiful. And Donna is, her work ethic is incredible. Okay. I can just tell you, everyone on this set loves Donna. Okay.
Oh, I love you guys too.
It's just so true. And Donna, and what were you, the first person there every single day? You had to wait around for us. Oh my gosh. Yeah, so it was just so incredible working with you, and we were just so blessed by you. And I can tell you right now, if we ever do another movie, you will be going with us. That's 100% for sure. Mm-hmm.
Well, I love you guys too. I mean, I was telling Gail how blessed the cast and crew of Order of Rights was. I've met so many wonderful people through my film career, and I love every set I've been on, but the Order of Rights, there's just a special, even a more special bond that I think we had. You guys are amazing.
It was incredible.
So sweet.
It was incredible. I mean, it really was. And we so appreciate your work and your work ethic. It was staggering. You stood out to me more than anybody. I mean, not more than anybody, but I don't like to compare, but you really, really, really stood out to me. In a big way. And I know I told you this before, and I need to really get some thank yous posted up, and that's up and coming. But I really, from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much. You're really incredible. And I really hope you just take off. It sounds like you already are, and you have, but I just know you will. So
thank you. I love you.
Mm-hmm. Love you too, girl.
Joy, thank you. You're so sweet to call in and just
thank you so much.
Bless Donna. And for the listeners who aren't familiar, there is a new movie coming out. It's called The Order of Rights, and they just they're in post production now. And so Donna was the makeup artist for that, and Julie Silcott is the actress and executive producer for that film. So that's who's speaking to Donna now. So that was so kind of you to call in, Julie. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you, and thank you, Donna.
Thank
I'll
you.
Talk to you soon, okay?
Yes, I love you.
Love you too. Take care.
Oh, thanks so much again. Well, that was sweet. Don't you love her?
That was sweet. Yes, I do.
Well, you know what? Let's go ahead and talk about The Order of Rights, because that's an amazing movie. And so, then you were also on Heaven Bound. And I wanted to ask you, we'll just go ahead and talk about your movie experiences, because I do want to ask you, on each set that you go to, and you've been on like 14 feature films now that you've worked on, what do you learn? Do you learn something different from each set, from each movie?
Definitely. Certainly, you learn different techniques or different products. When you work under probably about half my films, I've been key, like in charge of the makeup department, hair department. And then by other half, I've been with under other people. So you always learn new techniques from them, or new products to use, or different ways to do things. When I did Legends and Lies, I worked under amazing special effects and makeup artist, hair person, Nicole Pye. She brought me in on that. She was incredible. Legends and Lies, we worked on season 3, which took place during the Civil War period.
Yes,
and
I love that.
So,
I watched Legends and Lies. I didn't even know that you were the makeup guy.
Yeah.
I love that show.
So, well, I did season 3. She's done all 3 seasons, but I came under her on season 3.
That's fabulous.
So we had to do like Civil War style hair and makeup, and so it was just really neat. I learned a lot from her on that, on like how the guys would wear their hair, how the girls would wear their hair, you know. So it's always a learning experience,
That's what I was going to ask you. I mean, do you change, I guess you have to change your techniques, like for men and women, because men, they have to wear makeup too. Are they agreeable to that? And then I guess they're actors, and so they're used to wearing makeup, but how do you put makeup on men, especially so they don't look unnatural or like women, so that it's effective for the lights? And then also, do you discuss with the actors, and I'm including the actresses too in this, do you discuss with them how to apply their hair and their makeup? Do you do it for them as the actor to make them feel good about themselves or look great on film, or do you do it, you apply the makeup and hair based on the characters?
What I do is I'll get the script, read through it prior to shooting, and then I'll go through, I'll highlight like anything with, you know, like hair or makeup's involved, whether it's sweat, whether it's crying, no matter what it is, I'll highlight those areas. And as you read the script, you get a feel for the character, kind of how they should look, whether they're, you know, a lot of makeup because they're in the spotlight or they're very natural. After I do that, I kind of get an idea in my head, then I like to talk to the director to see if he has, like, what his images are, because that's who I want to match. I want to match his desires, what he sees, what he wants or she. So it kind of goes kind of through that process. And then by the time I get to set, I have an image in my head, and sometimes it won't matter what the hair looks like. You know, sometimes I'm like, hey, do you want to wear your hair up today? Or do you want to wear it down? So sometimes I'll get feedback from them to see kind of what they're feeling. Do they want to curl? Do they want to straight? Cause sometimes it doesn't matter a lot of times.
Or they have a hat.
Or
the character wears hats like a cowboy or something, then it won't matter.
Yeah. Right. So it's like a collaboration, I think, between all three. Now, if there's something that the director would have the main say of, okay, this is what I want. But and then if, you know, like the actress wanted a certain look but did not fit the character, then I would have to say, well, it probably won't work for your character. You know, maybe we can do it this way. Or like, say they need to look like they just woke up in the morning, but they want to have full makeup on. It's like, well, we can't really do that because we... You wouldn't go to bed looking like this, yeah. So there's some times you might have to try to persuade them to go a different route as far as the actors or something. But as far as the guys, they're pretty much used to wearing makeup, and so they're used to being in their makeup chair. I had one say that it was his favorite part of being on set.
It
was? The pampering. One say it was his favorite part of being on set. It has the little pampering for, you know, 5 minutes getting their makeup done, but obviously, you know, we just do like corrective. The foundations now, they're made for HD cameras, so they're pretty natural looking. So it kind of keeps the guys from looking like they're like overly made up.
Because when I was, and the reason I asked that is because, and this has been years and years and years, but I used to do a lot of community theater when I was younger. And so we had something called pancake makeup. Have you ever heard of that?
Mm-hmm.
That's for stage. I don't even know if they use that anymore because I haven't been in stage production in years. But we used to use pancake makeup, and it was very thick and heavy. But for the for the lights for stage, and that's another thing I was going to ask you, is makeup application different, like for stage, for television, or film? Is it just dependent upon the product that you use?
I would say TV and film would be the same, you know, because it's the same, typically the same kind of cameras being used and lighting and that kind of thing. Stage would be different. I haven't really done a lot of stage work, but from what I understand, it's just a lot heavier because people got to see kind of distance and that kind of thing.
Exactly. Exactly. It has to be more exaggerated. That's the other thing. It's heavier makeup, but it's also more exaggerated. And if you're walking, because I remember after I'd been made up and I don't feel like going home, or I don't go home right away, and I would go to a store or something like that, and people would look at you like you look like a clown. you have like this, but under the lights and from a distance from the balcony, you just see your features. So I wondered if it was a little bit different then. And like I said, it's been like so many years. I don't even want to mention how many years it is, probably 40 or something. I didn't, and certainly, you know, there's progression made probably in that type of makeup, but I just was wondering that. Also, I wanted to know what kind of cosmetics that you use, because you also work for MAC, is that right?
Yeah, I do some freelancing for MAC. Freelancing is kind of like you're not a permanent employee, because if you're a permanent employee, I can't take off, like, 3 or 4 weeks at a time. But being a freelancer, I kind of fill in when they need somebody. Mac, one thing I love about that company particularly is that they support, like, the film industry. I've gotten pretty much all the films I've been key on, I've gotten free makeup from them. They'll send me free makeup. So they really do like to support the film industry, which is, I mean, probably several thousand dollars worth of Mac I've been given.
That's worth it.
Over the years. Yeah. The other thing, too, with Mac in the beginning, before I started doing film, I'd done a couple weddings, and I thought I wanted to do, like, oh, I want to be a makeup artist, do weddings or something, because I didn't know I could do film and TV. But I had sent, they have a discount program for pros where you can get 40% off if you're a pro. But I wasn't at the time. You know, I just did a couple weddings, and I had written to them that I wanted to build my kit with quality products and all this other stuff, and they accepted my membership and allowed me to be a pro, even though I wasn't one yet.
Wow.
So I do use a lot of their products. For foundation, I use Graftobian because it's made for HD or RCMA. Those are both made for the high-def cameras. But for, like, you know, your eyeshadows and lipstick and blushes and eyeliners and things, I use MAC.
Is it hard to know what colors to use on different people? Because I have red hair. I mean.
No. I like, because typically people get a wardrobe first, so I'll see what they're wearing.
I see.
I'll kind of pull from that. So if they're wearing pinks, I'll go more pink tones. If they're wearing peaches, I'll go more brown, peach tones. You know? So it's kind of what I kind of base it on, the clothes they're wearing. So you don't want to have them in, like, a orange shirt with a bright pink lip or something, you know. So now, in that way, I kind of use their clothing to judge that. But.
And mm-hmm. I also read that you create bruises, and I guess for Legends and Lies, particularly bruises and scratches and blood. And what is SFX makeup?
Special effects.
Is that what that
things
is?
Like,
okay.
Mm-hmm, yeah, special effects. So that would be things like that. I don't do a whole lot of that. It's kind of, I'm going to this class with Gregory Hewitt and I was talking about to learn more techniques on. I can do minor cuts and bruises and things.
Uh-huh.
On Legends and Lies, we use a lot of dirt because it was war scenes and fighting. So we use a lot of dirt and blood and things. So our key makeup for that was Nicole Pye. So she would do, like, amputations and major things like that.
Do you have a makeup that looks like blood? When we were kids and you see people, like, shot in Western, you think it's ketchup. We used to say a lot. So you think, oh, they probably use ketchup.
Some people make their own. Some makeup artists, like special effects artists, will make them. If they use a lot of it. I don't use a lot of blood because I don't do special effects a lot. But I do have some that I bought that I absolutely looks great on camera. I have one that's like a brown tone and one that's like a bright red. And I can mix the two to get, kind of depending on the age of the blood or the kind of blood. So I can kind of, you know, play with those and make different shades of red.
Do you use appendages? Like, for lack of a better word, like somebody has to have a fake nose. Do you do those kind of things?
I have not done that, no. Mm-mm.
Well, that's something
not
to
yet,
aspire
anyway.
To. No, right. I was going to say that's something to aspire to then. Because, you know, you have special effects for in makeup techniques and stuff for, like, Star Wars, you know, something
mm-hmm.
like that, where you're having all these people and different creatures. And certainly there's, like, masks and things like that. But I just didn't know with, like, a Civil War scene if you had things like that, like amputations and stuff. How did they do that? Like, do you know
how
they do
that? That would be my friend Nicole. The neat one that we had, the guy had who was amputated from the knee down. So what they dug a hole in the ground and he put his leg in the ground.
Wow.
And lay down.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was really neat to see. I had no idea they would do that, but it was kind of cool to watch. So Nicole handled all that. Yeah, I'm not really trained in the major special effects as of yet. My main focus is, like, hair, beauty, and then minor stuff I can do. But major stuff like amputations or things, the only someone who's trained in special effects would do that.
Yeah, but that's the beauty of what you do, is that you get to be on those sets to learn that kind of thing. I mean, and be exposed to it. So I'm just proud of you. I think that's amazing.
Well, thanks.
That's great. Well, you also, I know I wanted to ask you, what's the difference between a key makeup artist and a makeup artist?
The key makeup artist would be someone, or hair would be, key hair would be someone who, like, they design the looks. You know, they pick what the looks are going to be. They're kind of in charge of that department.
I see. Wow.
They'll have all the supplies that you need. They have, you know, everything that you need for the shoot. They keep, you know, can keep track of all the continuity stuff. The makeup artist is someone who really would, or hair or stylist, would be someone who might apply the makeup, but they're not in charge of, like, the, you know, department. But they're there to apply makeup or do touch-ups on set and that kind of thing. And, like, a makeup assistant, like I had on Order of Rights, my Nicole Riley Combs, she was a sweetheart. She's like a teenager from my church. She's like 19, but an older teenager. And so she came and volunteered, kind of like I did in the beginning with the order.
I was going to ask you that, if you do that now.
Mm-hmm. So she was like kind of my little right-hand man and would help me out. So she would get a set while I might be applying makeup on somebody else, and she would do touch-ups and things and, you know, help me set up and tear down and things. So
oh, my goodness, I know who she is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think she was invited to be an extra. Wasn't she invited to be an extra as well?
Yeah. Yeah, she had a line. She had a line.
They gave her a line.
She was an extra. Mm-hmm. She was extra in a couple scenes. So she was a great, great, great help. I mean, I couldn't have done this film without her being there to, like I said, be on set. So I didn't have to worry about people being shiny and things on set where I could get other people done for the next scene and things. So it worked out great.
And what
she was
her
the surrogate assistant. She's Riley Combs.
Miley Combs. Okay. And then also, I believe, Riley?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Riley Combs. Excuse me. Riley
mm-hmm.
Combs. And weren't you also an extra as well?
Yeah,
did I hear
was.
That? I thought I heard.
Uh-huh. Well, it was very sweet, too, because I was, Jim, our director, had, you know, we're in a coffee shop, so he had me sit in the background because we needed to fill in the space because it was kind of empty back there. So it was sweet because Shannon Fields, who was in, you know, Facing the Giants, and she played a part in this film, and she was a producer on Order of Rights. She came over and she's like touching me up, like, which was humbling. I was like, oh my goodness, you're so sweet. Because, you know, she's our producer and, you know, actress and things, and she's like making sure I look okay, you know, for being an extra in the background. So I thought that was really sweet.
I love that. So you really do get. The whole full effect of being on set. And so now you do hair, you do makeup, you've been an extra. So, you know, you never know when you might be called to have a line or have a little bit of a cameo role. That's exciting. Would you want to do that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Lines, I would do it if they needed me to, I guess, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's not something I really aspire to. I really do prefer behind the scenes. I don't mind being, like, in the background extra, but talking on camera, I think it makes me nervous. So, but if they
you're doing a great job now.
Then, I think. But if they actually needed somebody, like, hey, we need somebody to fill in the spot, then I'd be like, okay, I'll do it. Actually, that did happen once on a public service announcement. I was doing hair and makeup for it, and I'd worked with them before, and the producer called, and he was like, hey, do you think you can play a mom part? He's like, you just got to peek your head in the door. I'm like, sure, I'll do that.
I can peek my head in the door. That's awesome.
So I was reading the script, because I go through the script beforehand, and I see mom, and there's lines. I was like, I got lines. I did have a couple of lines in the PSA. Public service announcement for the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children.
Oh, wow. And that's a ministry right there as well. So it's how cool mm-hmm. is that to be a part of those types of projects?
Yeah, that is.
That's amazing. Well, you really have quite a resume, I have to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And, unfortunately, our time is up for today's program. Look how fast our hour went, because we just had so much fun talking, and I've had so much fun just learning
fun.
All this. I'm fascinated by the whole thing. It's not something that I feel like I have a gift or talent in, But I just being on set and meeting you on the Order of Rights when I was there, I just was, when I saw your work and I saw your countenance, I said, I have to have her on our show because I just really appreciate what you do, because it's just like that actor said to me with the lighting that, you know what, it's people are not so really supposed to notice the makeup and the hair. It just adds to it because it's a part of the show and it's part of the quality of the film or the television show, but you're not supposed to over notice it. And so that means that, you know, you're doing your job and that you're doing, you do quality work. So, and just based on everything, all the wonderful comments that I've heard from anybody who's worked with you, they all say the same thing, that you're, like Julie was saying, your craft, you're so wonderful. You have a great work ethic, and I just think you're going to go far. And I just so appreciate coming on, taking time out of your busy schedule to be here with us and share your journey with us, and to help, you know, give some insight to other people who might also want to be a makeup artist or hairstylist for television and film stylist. And so I really do admire your natural gift and the significance of what your gift attributes to the industry. So thank you so much for being here again. And do you mind if I pray with you to close out the section of our program?
Oh, I would love. Thank you.
Oh, well, Lord, we just are so thankful for Donna and all the many ways that she brings glory to you through her work in makeup artistry and hair for TV and film. And we just ask for your favor and your protection upon her as she continues to work in excellence to honor her clients through you. And we just thank you and praise you for what you're about to do for Donna and her ministry. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, Donna.
Thank you so much. You're very welcome. And please come back.
I would love that.
Oh, that would be awesome. And if you would like to contact Donna to inquire how you can hire her for your next project or ministry, you can email her at newcreationmua40@yahoo.com or call 540-621-8770. Again, that's New Creation MUA is in makeup artistry 40@yahoo.com or call 540-621-8770. On social media, you can follow Donna on Facebook and the Internet Movie Database website or IMDb at www.imdb.com and search for Donna Krutz Moore. The Up to Me magazine show will be back next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. with another fabulous guest to inspire and educate you on your own personal journey. So mark your calendars and meet me here at the Gabby G Cafe. And on behalf of Mel D and myself, this is Gabby G saying take five this week and be inspired to ask yourself about your own Up to Me moment. Then come back to share it with us because you know what? It's your life, your moment. It's up to you. Take us out, Mel D, with our fabulous theme song, Wake Up, by Blessed Love Gospel Reggae Band.
It's up to me to be the very best I can be. And it's up to you.
whether you are African or whether you are Caucasian, no matter if you're from Japan or whether you are Hawaiian, we call in all our sons and daughters back again, again. And King of Kings rise on the throne and set this world on fire. Who shall bless, let no man curse until my flesh expires. I am a king and she is a queen and he shall reign forever. Christ Almighty, we shall be one in Zion. Blessed Lord. Can do this so long.